This episode is brought to you by United Faith Mortgage.
Hey, I just have to tell you, in our little airport, we have to take our snacks out of our bag, and it just led to the coolest interaction. I just have to tell you, and I want you to meet my new friend, Dave.
Why, good morning. My name is Dave. I seen this beautiful young lady right behind me. I had 3 Canberry bars, and she says, oh, my favorite. We went through checkout, and I happened to give her one. And she was so appreciative of it. But I move around quite a bit, and I've met some wonderful people, and I tell you, Nicole is one of the best.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I think Dave is one of the best, because when we, right after we went through that, the TSA check, there's a woman who was struggling with her bags, and so he hands me a candy bar, and then he walks over and he helps her with her bag, and meanwhile, I don't know if you noticed this, but the security officer who was standing there, he just like looked at you and he smiled and he shook his head and he was like, I said, we got to clone that guy. And he said, no kidding. There need to be more of that kind of person in the world.
Well, listen, kindness goes a long way, folks. So pass it on.
Pass it on. Love it. Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome, Nicole. Nice meeting you.
Welcome to the Kindness Podcast. I'm Nicole Phillips. Today, we get to hear from Crystal Evans Hurst.
But I think often kindness is getting in the water with someone and swimming in the water that they want to swim in. And they just need to know that somebody's heard them, believes in them, and is with them.
Crystal Evans Hurst is a gifted writer, speaker, and worship leader. Being the eldest child of Dr. Tony and Lois Evans, Crystal has been surrounded by the Word of God her entire life. Crystal recently co-authored Divine Disruption with her dad and 3 siblings. You can find Crystal writing on her blog, Crystal's Chronicles, where she poignantly reflects her thoughts about her faith and day-to-day experiences. Crystal is a dedicated wife and homeschooling mother of 5. She considers herself to be the chief operating officer of the Hurst household, which is located in a small town just outside of Dallas, Texas. Please welcome Crystal Evans Hurst.
Hey there. How are you doing? Thanks for having me, Nicole.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to tell you that I didn't read Divine Disruption. I listened to it. And I would encourage everyone to listen to it on Audible because it was just so, so good. What was that process like as far as writing a book with your siblings and your dad and then doing the audio recording of it?
The whole process was a mastermind project for my brother, Anthony. And initially what he'd said we would do was kind of sit around, have these conversations with questions and prompts, and then take those recordings and share them with the writer. Well, because of our schedules, probably, and just the timing of needing to get the project done, we didn't do that. We actually independently, individually, put down our thoughts, and he painstakingly went through and stitched them together, us all telling the same story from different vantage points and doing that in a way where the reader is able to see with one incident, with one circumstance, what are 5 different takeaways, 5 different interpretations, 5 different emotions, just of that one experience, which I think helps the readers obviously to see themselves because we're all different. The audiobook was the same. We individually, independently sat down and read it. So the fact that in its entirety, of course, he's going together and going through and making sure it all works together. But the fact that it does create a comprehensive, synergistic work that people are able to read and to hopefully gain a sense of hope and comfort from as they walk through, as we continue to walk through and as others walk through their hard things. I think it's actually pretty magical that you can take 5 people who wrote separately, who read separately, and then have a work that has a singular impact for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that God was most definitely in the midst of all of that. And I for sure felt that come through this compassion and this love come through each of you for each other and for your mom, which is really, she's the one who had said, it's time to do a project together, right? Is that how this all started, that you lost your mom and you had just a series of terrible things happen with a couple of your period?
Yeah, in a 2-year period, we lost 8 family members. And in a family of ours, I can remember the first funeral that I had gone to in my adult life. I was in my 30s. And then my grandfather passed away when I was in my mid-30s. And then I didn't have a grandparent pass away until I was in my early 40s. So going to funerals, I know, like for my husband and his family, he has them all the time. But for us, that just wasn't, my grandparents lived until their 90s. I mean, it had just been a long run without having to deal with that. So to have 8 people pass that are very close to you in a short period of time was traumatic, both in the sense that we lost people that we loved, but also traumatic in the sense that we didn't have practice with this. Like, you know, there's a sense that I see in my husband's world of, you know, it's just the rhythm of people dying in his family and kind of who are the funerals for this year. With us, it was just so traumatic because it just had not happened in forever. And definitely not close to us. So it started with my cousin Winter passing away in 2018. She was 38. She left 4 girls, ages 10 to 14, totally unexpected. She did have a heart condition that she knew of, but she had just seen her cardiologist. Everything was fine. And basically her heart just stopped. She went and laid down for a nap and didn't get up. And because that rocked our world to kick it off, there was no more than 6 months in between each additional family passing. And then it really did seem to come to a crescendo because in November of 2019, my grandfather, my father's father, passed away. So my dad had to leave my mother's bedside, who was dying of cancer, to go to Maryland to bury his father. He had not been until that year the caretaker for my grandfather because my grandfather had a daughter who had taken care of all the bells and the whistles, the doctor's appointments, the business of my grandfather's life. So the year that my mother was sick, my father had to take on that role. And then a month before my mother died, he had to take on the role of burying his father. And so my mom on December the 30th, 2019 passed away. And the first week of the year, we buried her. I often think that God was so gracious, and I say this with the greatest sensitivity to those who have lost loved ones in the middle of the pandemic, who have not been able to be by their side, who have not been able to give them the burial that they would have liked to give them or the funeral, with all the people being able to come that they would have preferred. And with the sensitivity and the hurt that I feel for people who have had that experience, I'm still very grateful that God allowed us, really for the sake of my mother's legacy and her honor, to be able to bury her before the pandemic. I think that the show for her funeral was a packed house. We showed it to thousands of people online, was an indication that the woman that had done so many things behind the scenes to support my dad as he was in front of the cameras and in front of the lights and in front of audiences all over the world, the testament to her life. I was glad that we were able to not only funeralize her, but also to give other people the opportunity to show honor to her and the impact of her life as it has been manifested through the life of our family. People always say, when you see Tony Evans and you see his kids, you know, how does that happen? And I do believe that both of my parents played an integral role, but I do not think that without my mother being a part of doing the things that people did not see and keeping things stitched together. So we were glad to have the opportunity to honor her. And she did say that she wanted us to do some things together. So to again have the opportunity, while it's still fresh and while people are still very much experiencing pain, to say, okay, we showed you her funeral and how we have faith, but can we show you our lives and how we've had to maintain that faith in the loss of the one who we're all the closest to, who actually told us in the wake of difficult circumstances to keep having faith and to show you how we're doing that together and to show you how we're doing that individually as well.
Well, Crystal, it's interesting that you mention a couple of things. One being, you know, Tony Evans and the children, all of you having this tremendous faith. How do you do it? That's so, you know, so you address that and I appreciate that. But for people who say, like, why faith? Why bother? Yeah. If this is going to be so hard, if life is going to be so hard, I mean, I just have like, I just want to sit and cry with you over everything you've been through. So why faith when you could just, I don't know.
Exactly. When you could just, I don't know. That is the answer. The whole point of faith is hope. And the whole point of hope is to believe that there's something good at the end of a string of things that are not so good. To believe that either on this side of eternity or on the other side, that you'll be able to look and see something that has sprouted by something being buried. And that runs the gamut from the honor that we have given our mother and the hope that that gives to other people as we walk through our pain. It also has everything to do with the fact that believing that what you do on this side of time, it has more purpose than time. Then even if you do great things and you do good things and you're really kind to people or you're very generous or maybe you're a philanthropist and there are buildings with your name on them or streets that are named after you, that after all of that, then what? And I think that the answer to the question being, I don't know, is not a good answer in comparison to, because everything planted has an eternal benefit if you believe. I know the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God, that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you have to understand that sometimes on a treasure hunt, if you're looking for a treasure, there are probably lots of interruptions that you will find on your way to whatever it is that you seek. An Olympic gold medalist on their way to an Olympic gold medal has moments where they want to quit and a lot do. Have moments where they face disappointment and a lot do. Have moments where you don't win first and a lot do. But what do? We celebrate those who ran after the treasure because they had faith that they could arrive. Because what else if you quit and you have a dream in your heart? I don't know. We applaud people who stay the long haul in their careers and have, because of the long haul and because of their commitment, are able to accomplish over time what other people who quit were not able to. Why? Because they had a vision and they had faith that their desire, that their calling to bring the news or to have great conversations was worth the long haul. And what do? Applaud them for having faith and seeking out the treasure. Or for a mother at home who believes that, I don't see what is going to happen with these kids. All I see are dirty diapers or crazy teenagers, but you pour in and you give more than they give to you. Why? Because you have faith that if you keep seeking the best of another individual, that there's a payoff to that. And if you give up too soon, and if you shrug your shoulders because the teenager is crazy, then what? I don't know. So there is an argument for faith. Mm-hmm. There is an argument for faith in things you cannot see. Mm-hmm. There is an argument for faith to hang in the long haul because you believe, because you believe, because you believe, and not because you know when that outcome of belief will happen or if you will even see the outcome of that belief on this side of heaven. And so when asked why faith, that is my answer. Now, a lot of people have other beautiful answers, but I have to be honest because I probably am probably the most practical and kind of, I want to see what I want to see when I want to see it, person in our family. If I can't touch it, feel it, smell it, then is it really? You know, it's the whole thought of if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, did it fall? So I would, if any of us say, well, it doesn't make sense. We shared her cancer journey with the world. There were so many people praying for her. And if God could really heal, then why didn't he? I could say that. Mm-hmm. Or I could say that he knows something we don't know, that it was her time, and that we have to just trust that he's either a good God who does things sometimes or allows things we don't understand, or he's not God at all. And left with those two options, well, I think I choose to believe that he's probably bigger than me, knows things I don't know, has a perspective I don't have, and that just because he loved her doesn't mean she would live forever. And that is the time he chose for her to leave this earth. So, Is faith a choice? 100%. Is it always an easy choice? No, 100%. Is it a choice you have to make often every day over and over and over? 1,000%. But is it a choice? Absolutely. And I choose to make that choice.
More from Crystal Evans Hurst in just a second. But first, let's talk about our sponsor, United Faith Mortgage.
Hey, Auntie Mary. You could keep eating, but I got some questions for you.
What?
Okay, first of all, do you prefer to own your own home or to rent?
Own my own home.
Okay. Do you like working with big businesses or maybe just dealing with a couple dozen team members?
I liked local. Oh, I can't say that.
No, you can't say local, but you can say... Try again. Do you like working with big business or just a couple dozen team members?
Couple dozen team members.
That's much better. And do you like the names Denise and Barbara?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They sound like nice people, right?
Not as nice as a Mary.
Oh, Mary. Yeah. Aunt Mary is much nicer. Yeah. But, you know, if you can't get Aunt Mary, then you can have Denise or Barbara. That's right. Who you're probably going to talk to when you call United Faith Mortgage. I am so grateful to them for their kindness in sponsoring the Kindness Podcast, keeping us on the air. Super cool. Faith and family is at their core. It is why they choose to be a partner with this podcast, and specifically why they advertise on faith-based stations and podcasts across the country. So you want to have personal one-on-one, this limousine service type of care, then you want United Faith Mortgage. Just a couple dozen team members run by a father and son, John and Ryan. And if you call, you're probably going to get Denise or Barbara. And no middleman, not for you. Nope. You like the middleman, Aunt Mary?
No.
No, Aunt Mary doesn't like the middleman. Okay, there you go. And now back to Crystal Evans Hurst.
So I see in you this beautiful eternal perspective, this long term, like just keep pouring into those kids, keep pouring into whatever the hard is, and you will, you know, God has got this. But how do you personally bring that into a daily perspective when you get in the hard?
I'll give you this example. I feed my children all the time. I actually have homeschooled my kids. I have two left at home. I feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If I don't fix it, I provide it. That does not stop, particularly my youngest son, from asking me every time he starts to get hungry, what's for breakfast? I mean, even last night before he went to bed, what are we having for breakfast? And he asks me this as if he doesn't know that in the morning I'm going to feed him. That doesn't stop him from asking me. That doesn't stop him from crying out when he's hungry. How much longer is lunch going to take? That doesn't stop him from showing disagreement when he doesn't like what I happen to fix that day, or deciding that he's only going to eat half of what I put on his plate. It doesn't stop the interaction. But I still show up and make him a meal or make sure he's provided for. So I don't stop showing up and saying, God, why did you put this on my plate? I don't stop showing up and asking God, hey, what do you have coming for me? Or why did you fix me that this morning? I don't stop telling God, you put too much on my plate. Why did you give me so much to digest? I actually can't take more in. I don't stop telling God, you haven't given me enough on my plate. How can you expect me to go forward and do all the things in my life if this is all you're going to feed me? I don't stop telling God that what's on my plate, I don't like. Why did you even fix this for me? You know I don't like peanut butter, or whatever the case may be, as one of my sons told me today. So when you ask me, what do I do in the midst of a God who keeps showing up every day to wake up my eyes? The Bible says his mercies are new every morning, to give me the opportunity to choose again. When I wake up and the day that dawns, the choices that I have, the opportunities that I have, I don't like. It doesn't stop me from saying, God, you're not there. I may question what he put on my plate, because he keeps showing up and putting things on my plate. I'm still here. I'm still alive. Right. But what I do is wrestle with him. I do not have a problem asking God questions. I do not have a problem expressing my disinterest. Just like I, as a parent, want my son to be grateful, even if he's not excited about what I gave him. I know that God works the same way. So I try to be grateful and not always be a complaining kid. But I think the interaction, basically prayer, conversation with God, but not this pious performance-based, super only in 5 a.m. and only at 11 p.m. kind of monk prayer. I'm like all day long fussing at God, walking around outside if that's what I need to do, and talking out loud, or being grateful when I see something that he has given me, expressing my disappointment when he hasn't given me what I desired. That's the middle of the wrestle. And I think the wrestle with my son over the meals is conversation, and it's still relationship. And I feel the same way about my relationship with God. That's not all there is to it, but that is certainly what it looks like when there's a faith struggle.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. I think that means a lot to a lot of people when they say, okay, I get that this is a long-term journey, but what about today? So thanks for sharing that. One of the things I really admire about you, Crystal, is the way that you pour into and encourage both women and young girls. It just seems like a passion of yours. And I'm wondering, where did this passion come from for you to just be such an encourager in this field?
Well, I think about the fact that I had great parents, still have a great parent that's still with me. And even with great parenting, with a great faith background and upbringing, even with Christian school, private education, did all the Bible studies, all that. I still had a season of my life where I just made dumb choices. That's what I tell my children. Between the ages of 15 and 25, your brain is not developed, but you're going to have freedom from the world to do what you want to do. And the reality is that most people make some of the dumbest decisions in their life in those, in that 10-year span.
Amen. Me too.
So what I want to do is tell you over and over and over again what the truth is. But I realize that as a parent, even though that's the role of a parent, I'm actually like a mentor to you. I'm 20 years past you, 30 years past you. You may not want to listen to me. So as with my own children, I want to make sure they have other voices in their lives to say and repeat to them what I'm saying, but maybe a different way, because your kids start to get a little tone deaf to you. So my goal is to say to women who have passed the season of dumb decisions and are maybe reaping the consequences of those decisions, are wondering if they can ever come back from the consequences of those decisions or make different decisions to change the course of their life, to say, yes, you can. Because after my dumb decisions, I got pregnant at 19, was a single parent for 10 years, had a boatload of debt. I mean, there was a series of things. I did recover from a lot of those things. And people said to me, so how did you do that? So one of the books that I wrote is called She's Still There. And that was the story, how you get back to the girl in you. And that was really written to recover what was lost. But then my goal was to say to girls before they made the dumb decisions, let me be another voice apart from your parents. Let me say it in a way maybe you haven't heard it before. Maybe let me say some things that might be a little shocking, because are Christian people actually supposed to say that? Well, if we don't say that, then who else is going to say it? So, so on both ends, for those women before they lose themselves, or women after they feel like the girl is lost and never recoverable. For both of those women, what I want to say is she's still there. She's always been there. She will always be. Your job is to honor the gift of you in this world and to call women up and out to the best version of themselves, not apologizing for who they are, not letting other people define them for less than who they've been designed to be, and for them to chase everything that God put in them as a unique human being who is the only person who can do in this world what they're designed to do.
Okay, I'm going to throw something at you that I was not planning on throwing at you. I have a son and he's 16 and has a girlfriend. And so, you know, we sit down and we have the conversation that goes something like this. Charlie, I know the entire world says that you should have sex when you're ready. I, as your mom, am telling you, I really think you should wait until you're married. And everyone around you is going to think I'm bat crazy. But do you know why I say that to you, Charlie? And Charlie says, yeah, mom, because it's in the Bible. It's a sin. And I said, actually, no, that's not why I care. Because I sin every day, Charlie. I said, from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, I'm doing things that I'm not supposed to be doing. I said, to me, it's because of God's guardrails. God wants the best for us. And so if we can follow what he puts out there, we're going to be in line for the best, not just something, but the best. So Crystal, that was the best I could do on short notice. Can you please help me?
I think you did great. I think, you know, it's really hard to tell people / Adam and Eve, you can do all of this, but don't touch that one tree. I mean, we're drawn to the thing we can't touch. So I think it is important to celebrate not just the no part of the answer to the question, but the yes part of the answer to the question. It is hard to get teenagers to see the yes, because they haven't walked into the reality of it yet. You know, you're promising them something that they don't quite grasp. But I do think that was the positive thing to do. I think there are arguments for abstinence that have nothing to do with faith. And there are people in the world who do believe in abstinence, or who adopt abstinence after they see all of the consequences of not abstaining. And I think that there is some factual, because teenagers are very, what they're trying to do is establish their own values apart from you. There is the pull for independence, as it should be, because they're not supposed to be with you forever. There is a pull. I always say girls are like Velcro. The noise is really, really loud. It rips apart because it's designed to come back together. Boys, not so much. They are designed differently. They should be living an independent life that's going to look different than a relationship with daughters. And it is good for them to think on their feet, both of them, to think on their feet and to know why they believe what they believe. So I think wrestling with teenagers and asking them what they think and how to substantiate their points is actually great for them being able to stand on their 2 feet. And so, you know, one of the things that you might be encouraged to do is to continue to have that conversation, but looking at it from all angles. You know, hey, I would like to discuss this with you because you asked me a question and I gave you an answer, but I think there are actually more reasons than that. I mean, there, you know, I'd love for you to go away and find 3 reasons. Maybe I'll have 3 and we'll compare notes because I'm curious to know what you think. So it becomes less about what mom thinks and mom telling me what I should and shouldn't do for her reasons and more about let me help you discover your own. It's a coaching role and not a directorship role. And I think the more you can do that, the older your kids get, then the better.
Ooh, that's so good. Okay, I need to let you go here in a few minutes, but right now I want to ask you 2 things that I love to ask all the Kindness Podcast guests. And the first is an act of kindness that you have seen in your life and how it made you feel, whether it's from God or from a person, you were the giver, you were the receiver, the witness, whatever. And then the second is a kindness tip, which I feel like you just gave us, but would you start and tell me about an act of kindness that has really meant something to you?
Sure, sure. Well, it is something that I did for someone else. Why it meant so much to me is when I saw how much it meant to her. So my dad's executive assistant has talked for years. I've heard her say over and over again that she feels like she's supposed to write a book because it is a very precious role for an executive assistant to support a pastor or anyone really in some major leadership role. I mean, it's just trusted and you're so close and they can't function well without you managing things for them. She wanted to write a book and she's mentioned it a long time. Well, she happened to mention it one day and she said that she had taught a class at a conference. And she said, and I can't believe I taught the whole class and then still haven't written the book. So I went and found out from the organization if they had a recording of her talk, which they did. I had that talk transcribed. I had one of my assistants read over it from the automated transcription and clean it up. I printed it for her, put it in a binder, put it in a box, and then gave her the gift of a coaching session with my writing coach to give her an outline so that she could write her book. Wrapped it all up and gave it to her with a letter that says, I believe in your dream of writing this book. Like, here's a head start. Okay, so when I gave her this gift, I mean, she cries and she was telling my, every time I've seen her tell other people what, you're not going to believe what Crystal did, she starts crying. And the main thing is because, I mean, of course, I think it was a good gift. I was excited to give it to her, but I think the gift was listening to her. Yeah. It wasn't that, I mean, anybody could have typed up the notes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. She could have found a writing coach. It was that I listened to her talk about something that she wanted. I'd heard her. And then encouraged her to do what she wanted to do. Sometimes I think kindness is what we do for other people that we see they need. But I think often kindness is getting in the water with someone and swimming in the water that they want to swim in. We're just encouraging them to do the thing that they've already decided they want to do. And they just need to know that somebody's heard them, believes in them, and is with them. So I was excited to see that. And I'm excited to see how excited she is to start writing her book. The kindness tip, I would say, I heard Andy Stanley say one time, do for one what you wish you could do for all. I get very burdened by the number of people that we know because my church is my home church. We know everybody. Yep. So as everybody gets older and I know everybody and this person's in the hospital and this person is homesick and this person has lost a loved one, my feeling is that I want to do something for everyone. I want to cook everyone a meal. I want to send everyone a gift card. I want to do all these things. And I physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially cannot. I just cannot. And it actually really bothers me. And I have to tell myself over and over again, girl, just do for one what you wish you could do for all. The need that's in front of you today, the need that the Spirit of God places in your mind and in your heart when you think about someone, that's not happenstance. So do for that person today. You don't need to feel the pressure for all 8 who are sick and shut in, you know, but just the one that comes to mind. So the tip would be resist the urge to do nothing because you can't do everything and just do something. Do the thing for one that you wish you could do for everyone.
Crystal, you did something for me that I want to celebrate now and thank you for. You don't know that you did this, but I was at a conference called She Speaks in North Carolina, and you were, I don't remember if it was 2014, 15, 16, 17, I don't know, I lose track of days. but you gave a workshop about podcasting. And oh. I did not have a podcast at that time. And it was you saying, you know, hey, I can do it. It's not that hard, you know, give it a shot. And talking even about the type of mic to buy and all kinds of different things. And I just thank you for that, because even in the way that we go about our daily lives and we just do the thing that we were asked or hired to do, there's always one. There's always one that God allows us to touch. And I got to be that one. So thank you, Crystal.
You're so welcome. And that is delightful and encouraging for me to hear. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us today on the Kindness Podcast. I know you have encouraged so many people today and will continue to encourage. And I just say, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you, Nicole. Such a pleasure to be with you.
Once again, thanks to Crystal Evans Hurst. I'm Nicole Phillips. This episode of the Kindness Podcast is a product of Northwestern Media, a ministry of University of Northwestern, St. Paul. Do you know someone who could use a little extra kindness in their life? Let them know about the Kindness Podcast. Like and subscribe at Apple, Spotify, and Google. And check out my books and blog on the socials at Nicole J. Phillips. I hope your day is filled with kindness. Once again, we want to say thank you to United Faith Mortgage. To learn more, go to unitedfaithmortgage.com. United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York, licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org, corporate NMLS number 1330, equal housing lender, not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.